This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
There's been a lot of news out of our nation's capital these past few days. One thing that both sides of the aisle are agreeing on is whole milk in schools. Joining us with an update from our nation's capital is Chris Galen from the National Milk Producers Federation.
Yes, lots of noise coming out of Washington in the past week. What we're focused on are the things of greatest importance to our members, Bill, and certainly that includes increasing and expanding the available options to kids in the school lunch program of different types of milk. So that's why we were really encouraged to see in the past week the introduction of the bipartisan Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act. And this is legislation introduced in both the House and the Senate that would basically expand the ability of schools to choose to serve more than just low-fat or fat-free milk. And in fact, what this would allow schools to do is to include reduced-fat milk, which is 2%, and even whole milk. Those haven't been available in schools for more than a decade, but if this legislation passes, then it would give schools the option, not the obligation, but the opportunity to serve more types of milk to their school populations.
Sounds like the more options for kids, the better.
Right. The more this issue is studied, the more it becomes clear that higher fat content milks, which 2% in whole milk are, do not necessarily increase the rate of obesity or overweight in kids, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to have heart disease issues decades in the future. There's something unique about dairy fat in comparison to other fats that doesn't make it the fat boogeyman that it was commonly portrayed as when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, Bill, and I'm sure you're old enough to remember that as well. You know, the thinking on this is gradually changing, and right now, at least, that thinking has been reflected in these new bills, the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act. In fact, in the House, they passed the bill a little more than a year ago on an overwhelming bipartisan basis. Unfortunately, the legislation did not move forward in the Senate last year. That's why both these bills, one in the House, one in the Senate, were introduced here in January, because we need to take another crack at it.
You mentioned National Milk supporting this bill and getting it to the finish line. Is that expected here in the coming months?
Well, we hope that with the change in leadership in the Senate, that might make them more amenable to include this. Not likely that it's going to be adopted as a standalone bill, but it would be folded into something else that hopefully passes either this year or next. The other thing I should add, Bill, is that as this is going on Capitol Hill, we are also encouraging farmers and other dairy stakeholders to include their comments to the Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee. They've been working on the federal guidelines for the food choices here over the past year. Their findings are going to be released later here in 2025. We want to make certain that those final guidelines, when they come out, are as pro-dairy as possible. And certainly that reflects back on the interest that we have in making certain that higher fat dairy products, including but not limited to fluid milk, are not demonized the way they've been demonized in the past.
Thanks for the update, Chris. From our nation's capital, Chris Galen, Senior VP of Member Services and Governance with the National Milk Producers Federation. For more, go to nmpf.org.